Patriot for Me by John Osborne, with Gary Bond as Alfred Radle, Jill Bennett as the Countess, Norman Rodway as von Merle, Robert Lang as Oblensky, and John Moffat as Baron von Epp. A Patriot for Me.
Lemberg, Galicia, 1890. The gymnasium of the 7th Galician Infantry Regiment. Early morning.
Who's there? Who is it? Come on, who? Hey!
Radle? Lieutenant Radle?
Who is it?
Yes, I see you now.
Szczecinski. Is it, Szczecinski?
Thought it was you. Yes. Sorry.
Not at all.
I startled you.
Well, we are both early.
Yes.
Still not all that much. Cigarette?
Mm.
It's almost light. I couldn't sleep anywhere. Could you?
I haven't the style for that. Von Kupfer has, though. Expect he's snoozing away now. Being wakened by his servant.
He gave a champagne supper at Anna's.
Who was invited?
Oh, half the garrison, I imagine.
Did you go?
I'm your second.
Is that what prevented you being asked?
It would have stopped me going.
Well, then. He'll have stayed there till the last moment, I should think. Perhaps he'll be worn down to nothing by one of those strapping Turkish whores.
I doubt it.
His spine cracked in between those thighs. Snapped all the way up. You're most likely right. You're right.
He's popular, I suppose.
Yes. Unlikable, too.
Yes. He's a good... What's he? He's a good officer.
He's a gentleman. And adjutant. Adjutant, mark you, of a field battery at the ripe old age of 21. He's not half the soldier you are.
Well...
And now he's on his way to the war college.
Oh?
Of course. If you'd been in his boots, you'd have been in there and out again by this time. You'd be a major at least by now. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to rub it in.
Kupfer. Ludwig Max von Kupfer. It's cold.
Cigarette smoke's warm.
How are you?
Cold.
Here.
Cognac. Your health. Here's to the War College. And you.
Thank you.
Oh, you will. Get in, I mean. You just have to pack in all the effort while the Kupfers make none at all. He'll be sobering up by now, putting his aristocratic head under the cold tap and shouting in that authentic Viennese drawl at whoever's picking up after him. You'd better make it, I mean. Or you'll spend the rest of it in some defeated frontier town with debts. And more debts to look forward to as you go on and... Probably the gout. I just hope there isn't ever a war.
You may underestimate Kupfer.
Maybe. But then he overestimates himself. You've tremendous resources. Reserves, energy. You won't let any old waters close over your head without a struggle first.
What about you?
I'm easily disheartened.
He's destructive. Very destructive.
Who?
Kupfer.
Oh, yes, yes. And willful. Coldly. Not too cold, not disinterested.
That's why I think you underestimate him.
But more vicious than most. You're right there. He's a killer, all right.
Someone will chalk him up sometime.
What about me?
That would be very good. Very good.
Just not very likely.
Have you done this before?
No, never. Have you?
Well, only as a bystander.
Well, this time you're a participant. I'd always expected to be challenged 100 times. I never thought I'd do it. Pick the right man. Only the wrong swordsman. May I have some more cognac? Right.
Of course.
Thank you. Have you seen him?
Seen? Oh, with a sabre, no. Have you?
No. No. Have you seen me?
Often.
Oh. There it is.
More times than I can think of.
They say only truly illiterate minds are obdurate. Well, that's me and Kupfer.
Why do you feel like this about him? He's not exactly untypical.
Oh, not by any means. For me, well, perhaps he just plays the part better. He makes me want to be sick. Over him, preferably.
I don't understand you. You're more than a match for his sort.
I just chose the wrong ground to prove it. Here.
Look, Szczecinski, why don't I'm quite plausible and not half a bad actor, for one reason and another. Why don't you let me...
No, thank you. You can't do anything now.
Very well.
Please, don't be offended.
Oh, why should I?
Someone who looks as good as me ought to be able to handle himself a bit better, don't you agree?
Yes.
At least physically. A little better, don't you think? Why did you agree to be my second?
Why did you ask me?
I thought you'd agree to. Did you get anyone else?
Steinbar.
As a favor to you. No, I didn't think you'd have to be persuaded.
No.
My cigarette's gone out.
Oh, then have another.
I thought you always smoked those long Italian cigars. Expensive taste.
Are you... But,
what is it?
No, I was only going to ask you, are you a Jew?
Grandmother. Maternal grandmother. Quite enough, though, don't you think? She became a Catholic when she married my grandfather. Not that she ever took it seriously, any more than him. She had a good sense of fun. Not like the rest of my family. You think it doesn't matter about Kupfer's insult, don't you? Oh, well, of course, you're right. I don't think it would have mattered what he said. Oh, I quite enjoyed his jokes about calling me Rothschild. What I objected to, from him, in the circumstances, was being called Fräulein Rothschild.
You shouldn't gamble.
I don't.
On people's goodwill.
I don't. You do.
I do. No, I don't. Well, I try not to.
You smell of peppermints.
It's nearly time.
Kupfer's breath stinks.
I hadn't noticed.
Oh, you mean you haven't got near enough? You don't need to. He should chew peppermints. Oh, here, have some of your brandy.
Thanks.
It's a cold time to be up at all.
Well, I've hardly ever had warm feet, not since I went to cadet school.
You work too hard.
What else can I do?
Sorry. Of course, you're right. I'm just waiting. Can't think much anymore. Go on. If you can, I mean. Don't if you can't. Won't be long now.
We've never talked together much, have we? We must have both been here, what, 2 years?
Why couldn't you sleep?
I don't know. Oh, yes, I had a dream.
But then you're not what they call sociable, are you?
Aren't I?
Well, asking for extra duties, poring over all those manuals.
You don't make it sound very likable.
It isn't much.
I told Steinbauer to come 2 minutes before. He's pretty reliable.
Anyway, you're taking a risk doing this. But I suppose Kupfer will draw the fire.
And you. You especially.
Oh, the Galician Jew, you mean? Yes. But that's only if I win.
It needn't come to that.
It will.
I'll see it doesn't.
No, you won't. You can't. What? What does one... Do you suppose... Well... Look for in anyone. Anyone else, I mean.
For?
Elsewhere.
I haven't tried or thought about it. At least
I mean, that isn't clearly, really clearly, already in oneself.
Nothing, I expect.
Tell me about your dream.
Do you believe in dreams?
No, not specially. They're true while they last, I suppose.
Well, it wasn't really... Steinbauer, on the dot. Morning, Steinbauer.
Good morning.
It's cold.
Yes.
Got the cutlery. Yes, I see.
All here.
Radl was telling me his dream. Go on.
Oh, it's nothing.
That hardly matters, does it?
It's not really time.
Please.
It's just... Oh, I was... Well, later I was. I won't tell you the first part.
But,
no, it's too dull. So is this, too. Anyway, I was attending a court-martial. Not mine, someone else's. I don't quite know whose. But a friend of some sort, someone I liked, someone upright, frank, respected, but upright. Well, it was quite clear from the start what the outcome would be, and I was immediately worrying about having to go and visit him in jail. And it wasn't just because I knew I would be arrested myself as soon as I got in there. It wasn't for that. Anyhow, there I was, and I went and started to talk to him. He didn't say anything. It was just the wire netting between us. And then, of course, they arrested me. But I couldn't tell whether he was pleased or not. I mean, pleased that I'd come to see him, or that they'd got me too. Well, they touched me on the shoulder and told me to stand up, which I did, and by that time he'd gone somehow.
Kupfer and his seconds arrive punctually. The duel begins. It is soon over. Szczyński falls to the ground. Redl holds him in his arms and wipes the blood from his mouth. Szczecinski is clearly dead.
Shall I... Yes, I'd better get the doctor.
Yes. I suppose so.
Lemberg, the office of Lieutenant Colonel von Möhl, Commandant of the 7th Galician Infantry Regiment.
Lieutenant Riddle, sir.
Is Tausig waiting out there?
Yes, sir.
Good. All right.
Sir.
Riddle, yes. Sit down, please.
Sir.
Well, Riddle, you've quite a good deal of news to come, it seems to me. Yes.
Yes, sir.
You may think that a young officer gets lost among all the others, that he isn't observed constantly, critically and sympathetically. You might think that an officer with an unremarkable background or without rather dazzling connections of one sort or another would go unnoticed. Do you think that, Riddle?
Sir, my own experience is that genuine merit rarely goes unnoticed or unrewarded, even particularly in the army.
Good. And quite correct, Riddle, and for a very obvious reason. The future of the Empire depends on the army, probably the future of Europe, on an alert, swift machine that can meet instant crisis from whatever quarter it may come. It's taken us a long time to learn our lesson, lessons like Solferino. Expensive, humiliating, and inglorious, but worth it now. Only the very best kind of men can be entrusted in the modern army. No one's going to be passed over. Every man will have his chance to prove himself, show what he could do, given half the chance. I don't say there still aren't shortcuts for people who don't apparently deserve it, but that's not for you or me to argue. What we can do is make sure the way is made to virgin merit, someone with nothing else. What do you say?
I'm sure you're right, sir.
Oh.
It always seems quite clear to me, sir. The officers who complain about privilege are invariably inferior or mediocre.
Exactly. The real good uns don't ever really get left out. That's why so much nonsense is talked, especially about the army. You can't afford to ignore a good man. He's too valuable. A good soldier always knows another one. That's what comradeship is. It's not an empty thing, not an empty thing at all. It's knowing the value of other men and cherishing it. Now, Radel, two reasons I sent for you. I think we'll deal with the best first. As you know, as commander, it's my duty to recommend officers for war college examination. This year I only felt able to recommend von Tausig, von Kupfer, and yourself. The result, I can now tell you, after the final examination and interview, is that you have all three been granted admission. A very fine achievement for us all. 418 candidates for 39 places. Well, von Tausig has been admitted number 28, yourself 26, and von Kupfer 17. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm very pleased indeed myself with the result. All three accepted. It's quite something for me too, you know, especially over you. I was pretty sure about the other two, well, of course. But you, well, I knew you had the education. Enough. There it is. Now you've done it.
I'm very grateful, sir.
By yourself, you, number 26. So, how do you feel?
Very proud and grateful, sir.
I don't think you realize you've made quite an impression. Here, listen to this. Arithmetic, algebra, geometry, trigonometry, all excellent. Elementary engineering, construction, fortification, geography and international law, all 85%, all first class. Riding, required standard. That's the only begrudging remark on any of your reports, required standard. Anyway, get that horse out in the school a bit, yes?
Yes, sir.
Let's see now, what does it say? Do you speak Russian?
No, sir.
No matter, you will. Native language.
Ruthenian.
German, excellent. Polish, French, fair. Punctilious knowledge, military and international matters. It seems to know Franco-Prussian campaign better than anyone who actually took part. Learned. All the qualities of first-class field officer and unmistakable flair for intelligence.
Sir,
no, wait a minute, there's more yet. Upright, discreet, frank and open, painstaking, marked ability to anticipate as well as initiate instructions without being reckless, keen judgment, cool under pressure, that's Ermansdorfer, so that's good, very good indeed. Yes, cool, fine interpreter of the finest modern military thinking. Personality, friendly but unassertive, dignified and strikes everyone as the type of a gentleman and distinguished officer of the Royal and Imperial Army. Well, what do you say?
I'm overwhelmed, sir.
Well, I like to see this sort of thing happen. Kupfer and Tausig are one thing, and I'm proud of them, but you're another. Yours is effort. Effort, concerted, sustained, intelligent effort. Which brings me to the Shchitinsky affair. Of course, you realize that if your part in that incident had been made properly known, it would almost certainly have prejudiced your application.
Yes, sir.
However, we chose to be discreet.
I'm more grateful than I can tell you, sir.
Well, of course, with Kupfer, it was more difficult. However, he has been in trouble of this kind before, and let's be honest about it, he does have advantages. He is able to get away with incidents like Shchitinsky occasionally, though even he can't do it too often. Of course, he was a principal in this case, and you weren't. But I must tell you that it was a grave error on your part ever to have consented to become involved in an affair which ends in a brother officer's death. I'm saying this to you as a warning for the future. Don't get involved.
Yes, sir. May I ask, where is Lieutenant von Kupfer, sir?
A temporary transfer to Wiener Neustadt. Was Shchitinsky a friend of yours?
No, sir.
What was your opinion of him?
Well, I hardly knew him, sir. Well, he struck me as being hypercritical, over-skeptical of things.
What things?
Oh, army life and traditions, esprit...
Religion?
We never discussed it. But, yes, I suspect so. I should think...
Jewish?
Yes, sir, I believe.
A Galician like yourself?
Yes.
Yes, you're Catholic, of course.
Yes, sir.
What about women?
Shchitinsky?
Hmm.
Well, as I say, I didn't know him well.
But?
Well, I never thought of him, no one seemed to, as a ladies' man.
Precisely, yet he was very attractive physically, wouldn't you say?
Well, that's a hard question for another man to answer.
Oh, come, Radel, you know what women are attracted to.
Yes, of course, I should say he was, quite certainly.
But you never heard of any particular girl or girls?
No. But then we weren't exactly... And I... Don't...
You are a popular officer, Radel. Shchitinsky wasn't. Your debts, too, and quite hefty ones. Oh, one expects all young officers to have debts. It's always been so, and always will, till they pay soldiers properly. Every other week a fund has to be raised for this one or that. Fine. But this officer had, or so it seems, and frankly it doesn't surprise me, no friends, was in the hands of moneylenders, of his own race, naturally. And why? Women... Of course, one asks. But who? No one knows. No family who was worth 9,000 kroner in debts.
Nine?
Do you think I can find out? It is odd, after all. Young officer, apparently attractive in many ways, work excellent, intelligence exceptional, diligent, manly disposition, and all the rest of it. Then... Where are you?
Perhaps... I don't think he was ever in his right element.
Well, there it is. Incident closed now, including your part in it.
Thank you, sir.
Only remember, involvement. Debts, well, you'll be all right. Also, you have friends, and will have. As for women, I think you know what you're doing.
I hope so, sir.
What about marriage?
Well, I'm not contemplating it, not for quite some time, that is.
Good. You've got ideals and courage and fortitude, and I'm proud and delighted you'll be going from this regiment to war college. You're on your way, Radel. Yes, yes. You and Tausig should both have something to celebrate together tonight.
A bordello. Madame Annas. a private cubicle.
Anna! Anna! Hey, you, what's your name? Max? Leo? Anna! Damn!
Sir?
Ah, there you are. Thank God. Another bottle, please. Oh, you've got it. That's clever.
I guessed you'd be wanting another, sir.
Good fellow. Open it, would you?
At once.
Well, which one are you, then?
Which one, sir?
Well, you're not Leo or that other stumpy creature. What's his name?
I'm Albrecht, sir.
You're new, then?
7 months, sir.
No. Oh. I didn't notice you.
You don't often do us the honour, sir.
Light my cigar, will you? I can't afford time for this sort of caper very often.
Magnificent cigar case, sir.
No? Oh, yes, present. From my uncle.
Very fine indeed. Shall I pour it now?
Yes.
Paul Roger 81, sir.
Fine.
Would that be crocodile, sir?
Huh? Oh, yes, yes. Have you seen my guest anywhere among that mob out there?
Lieutenant Tausig, sir.
Well, who else?
He's talking with Madame Anne.
Oh, it's a rowdy, roaring mob you've got in there.
Yes, sir.
Why do they have to make such a damn show, howling and vomiting or whoring? Oh, drunk. Why do they need to get so drunk?
End of the summer manoeuvres, they tell me, sir. Always the same, then.
And this place will get put out of bounds one day. Someone should warn Anna.
Why, I think she just does her best to please the young officers, sir. Giving them what they ask for.
Well, they'll get it, too, and make no mistake. What's that young officer's name?
Which one, sir? Oh, with the red-haired girl, Hilda. Yes, Lieutenant Steinmeier, sir.
So it is.
Very beautiful girl, sir.
Yes.
Very popular, that one.
Garbage often is.
That's true, too, of course, sir.
Tausig, where the hell is he?
Shall I tell him you want him?
No, 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 better not. Getting bored sitting here on my own.
Can I do anything else?
No. Do you remember Kupfer?
Lieutenant Kupfer? Oh, yes. He used to be in here nearly every night. Sometimes when he shouldn't have been. We were sorry when he was reposted.
And Lieutenant Szczecinski? Do you remember him?
No, sir, I don't.
You don't come from Lemberg?
No, sir. From Vienna. Oh, do you mean the one who was killed in the duel? Well, he used to come in sometimes, usually on his own. No one seemed to take much notice of him. He didn't exactly avail himself of the place. Like Lieutenant Kupfer. He used to have this cubicle regularly.
Well, you must miss Vienna.
I do, sir. There are so many different things to do there. In Lemberg, everybody knows who you are and everything about you. Well, no doubt you'll be in Vienna yourself for long. May I congratulate you, sir?
Thank you.
On the general's staff, I have no doubt, sir.
We'll see. Oh, what the devil's going on?
Lieutenant Steinbauer's passed out, sir.
Oh.
They're passing him over their heads. Now he's being sick. I better go.
Then he's better off. See someone takes him home, if you can.
I'll do my best, sir. So, as I say, you'll soon be seeing for yourself.
What?
Why? Vienna.
Oh. All I'll see is work. Maps, tactical fieldwork, riding drill, Russian language, maps.
Of course.
Now, that'll be enough for me.
Yes, sir.
Well, I fixed us up.
What?
Girls. One each.
I've been arguing 10 minutes with Anna, and she insisted she'd only got one spare. That lovely great black gypsy with the mole on her cheek there.
Zoe.
That's the one? So I said to her, I know she's a big girl, but I know my friend Lieutenant Radel won't go much on sharing, especially on an occasion like this evening.
Please forget it, Tausig. I'm bored with a place.
So am I. We'll take another bottle. Oh, you've got another one. We'll take some more champagne upstairs with us and be entertained properly. Me by Big Black Zoe, and you, my friend, by Hilda. And very lucky you are. Doubly lucky because she was tied up by young Steinbauer till a few moments ago. But he's now safely on his face in the cellar. He won't be capable of fulfilling his little engagement tonight. He'll be lucky to stand up on parade in the morning. And Hilda, red, pale, vacant, and booked this moment by me, is all yours.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it doesn't. It's all fixed. Fixed by me and paid for.
Oh, Tausig, I can't allow it.
Nonsense. It's done. You insisted on buying the dinner and champagne, and now more champagne. Now, I insist on treating you.
Your health.
To Black Zoe and her gypsy mole. And Hilda and her red... whatever special she's got in there.
Well, drink up.
What are you standing about for?
He was opening the champagne.
Yes, well, take another one up. On my bill.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. We're going to need it. Come on. I'm glad to see you smoking a cigar again. I can't stand the smell of those peppermints. I always wanted to tell you. I say, that's a pretty classy cigar case.
My uncle.
I didn't know you had rich relatives.
Only him.
Perhaps I should have let you pay for Hilda yourself.
Of course, please.
Unless you would have preferred Zoe. Sherry, I mean.
Hilda sounds just the thing.
Yes, I think she's more your type. Bit on the skinny side. No bottom, little tiny bottom, not a real roly-poly. And breasts made like our waiter friend here. Go on, you, go and get the other bottle.
Just a moment.
I'll round them up. Well, don't be all night.
No, I'm just coming. Here. For your trouble. Yes. Wait a minute. Pour me another glass. Good night.
Madame Anna's, a bedroom. On the bed, Radel and Hilda.
Yes?
Alfred, can't you sleep?
No, I'm not tired.
You slept a little. Oh, not for long. Can I get you anything?
No, thank you.
You clench your teeth, did you know that?
No.
When you're asleep. Makes quite a noise, scraping together.
I'm sorry.
Oh, please. I didn't mean that. But it'll wear your teeth down, and you've got such nice teeth. You smell of peppermints. Can I put the light on?
It's your room.
It's yours tonight. Some men's mouths are disgusting.
I'm sure.
You look better. You almost fainted. Can't I get you anything? Is there any champagne left? Don't often get champagne for me.
There.
Well, here's to Vienna. Wish I was going.
Why don't you?
I shall. I'm saving up.
What will you do? The same thing when you get there?
I suppose so. Do you know, your eyes are like mine.
Are they?
I've never seen a man faint before.
Oh, you should be in the army. Do you want to get married?
Yes. Of course. Why? Are you proposing?
I have seen what you've got to offer.
Only just. I'm sorry.
What about?
You don't like me.
What are you on about?
Never mind. I hope you'll be very happy in Vienna.
I'm sorry. Those exams and things have taken it out of me. Perhaps I'll come back tomorrow.
Was Lieutenant Szczecinski a friend of yours?
No. Why did you know him?
I used to see him.
Did he?
Oh, no, not with anyone. He usually sat on his own in a corner reading the foreign papers or just drinking. I used to look at his eyes, but he never looked at me. Peppermint.
Oh, damn it, I apologise, didn't I?
Cigars, that's what you smell of. And horses and saddles, what could be nicer? And more manly.
You're very, very pretty, Hilda. I love your red hair.
You don't have to make love to me, Alfred. I'm only a whore.
But I mean it.
Hired by your friend.
Pretty little brittle bones.
Lieutenant Tausig.
Is that him next door?
At this moment, I should say. Is he a good friend of yours?
I can't say I'd call anyone I know a good friend.
Are you sure you can't sleep?
Yes, but why don't you?
May I put my head on your arm?
Yes, if you wish.
No, I'll finish my champagne. Do you like children?
Yes, why?
Would you like some of your own?
Very much. Wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
But then what's stopping you?
One would like to be loved. If possible.
Love's hardly ever possible.
Do you believe that?
Yes. Anyway, there are always too many babies being born, so...
You may be right. Perhaps that's why you're in the army.
What's the matter with you? I'm in the army because it suits me, and I'm suited to it. I can make my own future. I can style it my own way.
What about Szczecinski?
He wasn't suited to it. Who's in that other room? There.
Albrecht. Would you like to go?
No, I was just asked you a question, that's all. Albrecht who?
The waiter you were talking to while I was with the young lieutenant.
He's a noisy fellow.
Or whoever's with him. He always gets the pick, Albrecht. Anything he wants. Anyone. Come over here.
What for?
You want to look? There's a people. You can look at them through here.
Right.
Some champagne?
No.
Sad?
No, I'm sad. And always just wishes that a congenial evening had been even more congenial.
I think I'll go to sleep. The champagne made me sleepy. Good night, Alfred.
Good night, Hilda.
Sorry. I can't keep awake. But you don't mind.
Mm. Well, good night, Hilda. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll tell your friend you left in time for Rivelli. Alfred. You have the most beautiful mouth that ever kissed me. Good night, Lieutenant.
Good night.
You'll be a colonel one day. On the general staff. Or even a general. Goodbye.
Warsaw. Some time later. A darkened office. Colonel Obienski and Lieutenant Stanitsyn. They are watching a screen. A magic lantern show. The picture on the screen changes.
Next. Radel, sir. Alfred von Radel. Captain, 7th Galician Infantry Regiment, Lemberg. Born Lemberg, March 4th, 1864. Family background. Parents, Leopold and Marta Radel. 8th of 11 children. Father, ex-horse trooper, now second-grade clerical worker, Royal and Imperial Railway. Religion, Catholic. Education, cadet school, passed out with honours, equitation school.
Oh, do get to the meat, Stenison. I want my dinner. If there is any. They're not a very promising lot this time, are they?
Passed out of War College, May of last year, number 23 of his entry. Recommended particularly on pink paper. Recommended.
So it is. Meticulous.
For appointment on General Staff.
Yes.
Health, periodic asthma whilst at cadet school, twice almost leading to his discharge. However, in the past 10 years, this complaint seems to have been almost completely overcome. Contracted syphilis 2.5 years ago, underwent treatment and discharged Lemberg Military Hospital. One serious breach of discipline, involved in duel when fellow officer was killed. Acted as one of the officer's seconds. Affair hushed up and Radel reprimanded, otherwise unblemished record sheet. Present duty, shortly returned from 9 months on staff of military attaché in St. Petersburg, ostensibly learning Russian language.
Probably all it did do. That's all ours do in Vienna. Pick up German with that atrocious affected accent. Oh, I don't know why either of us bothers to observe. Just young officers going to diplomatic functions, learning the language painstakingly like an English governess, and about as well. Not a secret in sight. Most of them just come back like Radel with a clap at least, or someone else's crabs. Well.
Waiting for new posting. Financial affairs, no source of income apart from army pay. Although he seems to have invented a fond uncle who occasionally gives him fancy presents or gratuities, of whom there is no trace. Debts, not exactly serious, are considerable. They include Taylor, the biggest trade debt, outstanding accounts at various cafes, restaurants, bootmakers, livery, wine merchants, and cigar...
Oh, come along, friend. What else?
Not much. Two moneylenders, small. Fink, Miklash also.
Oh. Miklash. I know him. How much?
Together, some 2,200 kronen.
Yes?
He is also negotiating the lease of a third floor apartment in the 8th district.
Yes?
Well, that's about it.
Personal?
Studious, popular with fellow officers.
Oh, come along. Women. Oh,
occasionally, nothing sustained.
Spare time?
Work, mostly. Otherwise, cafes, reading foreign newspapers, drinking with friends.
All army?
Mostly.
Languages?
Ruthenian native, Polish, German, some French.
And Russian? Some. Yes?
I'm sorry?
What else, if anything?
Well, that's all, sir.
All right. Clever, brilliant officer, unpromising background. Ambitious. But extravagant, popular, diligent. What do you want to do?
Continue surveillance, sir?
Unpromising lot. Very well. Radel. Yes. All right. Background, nil. Prospects of brilliant military career exceptional. What he needs now at this exact stage is a good advantageous marriage. An heiress is the ideal, but a rich widow would do even better. He probably needs someone, especially adroit socially, a good listener, sympathetic. A woman other men are pleased to call a friend and meanie. Experienced. He knows what he wants, I dare say. He just needs someone to unobtrusively provide the right elements. Perhaps we should think about it. Anyway, remind me. Sometime next week. Right. Come on, then. Next.
Kupfer. Kupfer. Ludwig Max von Kupfer. Major.
Haven't been here for years, General.
Oh?
It's good to be back.
I'm sure.
There's nowhere quite like it, really, is there?
No, there's not.
Not where I've been, anyway. Yeah, what about you, General?
No, I don't think so.
I haven't been here since, when was it? Well, I was a young captain and I was in the Railway Bureau.
Were you?
Wiry, I could bend, do anything, like a willow. Where's your wife, General? Would you like me
to... No, she's all right. She's somewhere. Paris, that's the nearest to it, I suppose.
Yes.
But really, altogether different.
Entirely.
In Vienna, well, everyone is bourgeois or whatever it is. Good thing, too. Everyone. Beggars in the street, kitchen maids, the aristocracy. Let's be honest, the emperor.
Yes.
And they all of them enjoy themselves. In Paris, well, in my experience, they're all pretending to be bohemians from top to bottom, and all the time, every one of them a tradesman. Well, I don't think you're a real bohemian if you've one eye, or both eyes, in the case of Paris, on the cash box.
Quite.
Yes. That's Paris. That's the French Fondel. Oh, trouble with Vienna seems to have old age built into it.
Still, that's better than moving on to God knows what, and in such an ugly way. Like Prussia, for instance.
Yes, or England even more. They'll soon wreck it. Prussians are efficient, English willful. There's a difference. Still, all we do is celebrate and congratulate ourselves on saving Europe from the infidel.
I know. There's little credit for it.
Still, it was a long time ago.
Radel! Radel, my dear boy, what a pleasant surprise. General, may I? Captain Alfred Radel.
Sir.
General von Herzendorf. Since I last saw you, Radel, I now have the honor of working on the General's staff.
Indeed, sir. Congratulations.
Radel was just about the finest young officer all round when I was commandant in Lemberg for 11 years.
So you told me. Who was that very pretty young lady you were dancing with?
I'm sorry, sir, which one?
Which one?
Small bones, dark, brown eyes.
Oh, Miss Ursula Kunz, sir.
Kunz?
Ah, Kunz. Miss Kunz, youngest daughter of Judge Advocate Yaroslav Kunz.
Ah.
Good man, very.
Is he?
There seems to be.
Would you agree, Radel?
Aye, sir. Well, from the little I know and have been able to observe reliably, he is very competent indeed.
No more?
Accomplished, too. Unpopular.
Why?
I don't know, sir.
I believe it. Something odd. I don't know what.
Well, yes. But how useful.
Oh, yes, useful. Remember what Radetzky said about General Heinau? He said about Heinau, let's see, he's my best general, all right, but he's like a razor. When you've used him, put him back in his case.
The general was talking about Vienna, Radel. Well, how are you enjoying it?
Very much, sir.
Better than St. Petersburg.
The Russians find it very difficult to enjoy life, although they do manage occasionally.
Yes, but you know, this is a great place to do nothing. Sit in a cafe and dream. Listen to the city. Do nothing and not even anticipate regretting it.
Ah, there's friend Kunz.
Who? Where?
They're with the Countess Delyanov.
So he is.
You know her?
Just.
I think they're coming out here.
Sort of woman. No?
No.
Well, sort of woman who looks at you for 5 minutes without a word and then says, what do you think about Shakespeare? Or something like this. Unbelievable.
Ah, Kunz. Countess. We were just watching you.
We've met before.
Forgive me.
Oh, yes. Not once, but at least 3 times. You were on General Haase's staff in St. Petersburg and a short spell in Prague. Were you not?
I'm sorry.
Oh, please. I'm sure you had no eyes.
No, come, Countess. I can't think of anyone more likely to get his eye fixed on someone like you. You're being unfair.
No, I think not. But I forgive him.
Yeah, the General and I were just talking about Vienna, Kunz.
Yes.
We were just saying, there's nowhere quite like it.
No. You've been away some time, I believe, Colonel. Where was it?
Pressemichel.
Pressemichel, ah, yes. Oh, with all the fortifications.
4 12-inch howitzers, some 9 and some 6-inch, 40 battalions, 4 squadrons, 43 artillery companies, 8 sapper companies. Oh, no, no, please forgive me.
Yes, no, we're quite like Pressemichel, in fact.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I simply can't understand the army, or why any man is ever in it.
Nor should you. The army is like nothing else. It goes beyond religion. It serves everyone, and everyone serves it. Even Hungarians and Jews. It conscripts, but it calls the best men out, men who'd never otherwise have been called.
I think perhaps it's a little like living in the 18th century, the army. Apart from Przemysl, that is. Still, that is a Viennese speciality. Don't you think, General?
I see nothing about the 18th century that makes me believe the 19th was any better. What makes you think that the 20th will be an improvement?
Why do you assume I should think it would be?
I don't think I could ever be in a soldier. I want to be a stranger in a street. A key on a concierge's board. Inaccessible if I wanted.
But that's what a soldier is.
Only at the cost of his identity. Wouldn't you say, Captain Radle?
I think the General's right. The army creates an elite.
No, I believe it is created. The army. It can't change. And it is changed from outside.
Nothing else trains a man.
Aptitudes. Aptitudes at the expense of character.
But it can, in its own way, provide a context of expression for people who wouldn't otherwise have it.
I can only say, Countess, you can have met very few soldiers.
Oh, you're quite wrong, Major. Why, look at me now. Several hundred guests and whom I with. Chief of the General Staff himself, a distinguished colonel from Przemysl, a judge advocate major from Vienna, and a splendid young captain. And how different you all are, each one of you. I must say, I can't think of anything more admirable than not having to play a part.
I'm sorry, Countess, but nonsense. We all play parts. Are doing so now. We'll continue to do so, and as long as we are playing at being Austrian, Viennese, or whatever we think we are, cosmopolitan and nondescript, a position palmed on us by history, by the accident of having held back the Muslim horde at the gates of Europe, for which no one is grateful, after all. It was 2 centuries ago, and we resent it, feel ill-used, and pretend we're something we're not, instead of recognizing that we're the provincial droppings of Europe. The army, all of us and the church, sustain the empire, which is what? A convenience to other nations. An international utility for the use of whoever, Russia, England, or Francis Joseph, which again is what? Crown imperial of non-intellect, which is why, for the moment, it survives. Like this evening, the Hofball. Aspiring gaiety and pointlessness.
Countess. Excuse me.
Plus a rather heavy odor of charm.
I'm sorry if I've offended the General.
I offended, not you, Countess.
Correct. He's not accustomed to your kind of young banter, Kuntz.
I didn't expect him to take me so seriously.
Oh, of course you did.
He is still the finest officer in the Royal and Imperial Army.
Very probably.
He is an old friend. He may not be as clever as you, Major, but his heart is in the right place.
Where it can be seen by everyone.
And I will not stand by and allow him to be sneered at and insulted.
I quite agree. Please excuse me, Countess. Gentlemen.
Well, what tempers you men do have. What about you, Captain? We've not heard much out of you yet. I have a feeling you're full of shocking things.
What about?
Why, what we've been talking about.
Like the army, you mean? I'm afraid I don't agree with the Major.
No?
No. I mean, for myself, I didn't want to be, or mean to be, rigid or fixed.
But you are not.
No. At the same time, there must be bonds. Some bonds that have more meaning than others.
I don't follow.
And now you're baiting, Countess. The course is right. No officer should be allowed to speak in the way of Major Kuntz.
He offends against blood. He...
Against himself. It's like being a Pole or a Slovak or a Jew, I suppose. All these things have more meaning than being, say, a civil servant or a watchmaker. And all these things are brought together in the army like nowhere else. It's the same experience as friendship or loving a woman, speaking the same tongue. That is a proper bond. It's human. You can see it and experience it. More than all men and brothers or some such nonsense.
And do you agree with that, Captain Radle?
I don't agree that all men are brothers, like Colonel Merle. We are clearly not. nor should be, or ever want to be.
Spoken like a true aristocrat.
Which, as you must know, I am not.
Oh, but I believe you are. Don't you, Colonel?
We are meant to clash, and often and violently. I am proud to be despised by some men, no, perhaps most men. Others are to be tolerated or ignored. And if they do the same for me, I am gratified or at least relieved.
I agree with the Countess about you, Radel. He has style, always had it, must have had it as a tiny boy.
Your pride in the captain is quite fierce, Colonel. It's quite touching.
I don't know about touching, as you call it. It's real, anyway.
But that's only too clear. And why not? It's quite obviously justified.
Some men have a style of living like bad skins. Coarse-grained, erupting, spotty. Let me put it this way. I don't have to tell you that even in this modern age of what they call democracy, the army is still a place of privilege. Radel is the rare type that redeems that privilege. And why? Because he overpowers it by force. Not mob-trained force, but natural discipline, character, ability and honour. And that's all I've got to say on the subject.
Oh, my dear Colonel, I don't know who is the most embarrassed, you or Captain Radel.
Myself, Countess. A truly honest man is never embarrassed.
You mean you are not honest?
The boy's an open book. He should be an intelligence. No one would believe him.
But not tolerant.
I don't think so.
Oh, indeed. I think you ignore what doesn't interest you. Which is why you didn't remember me, in spite of the fact of our having met on 3 separate occasions.
Pardon me, Countess, I remembered immediately after.
You think I'm a snob because I accused you of trumpeting like an aristocrat just now. You are the snob, Captain Radel, not I. As Colonel von Merle here will tell you, my husband was a petty landowner from Krakow, and I am the daughter of a veterinary surgeon.
Well, don't take that too seriously, Radel.
Colonel, I appeal to you.
Well, let me say you would say there was only some truth in it.
No. Oh. Please excuse me. Thank you, sir. Look at this, Colonel.
Archduke Ferdinand. Ah, well, you'd better get along quickly. The Archduke's the man now. Ferdinand's the one to watch, and I think he's probably all right. Knows what he's doing. Knows what's going on in the Empire. Hungary, for instance. Serbia. You see, the Belvedere, that's going to be the centre of things, not the Hofburg anymore. Pity that about all that. Well, what do you call it? Morganatic marriage business?
Yes, indeed. Poor woman. Having to trail behind countesses 100 yards behind him.
Why do you think he married her?
Why does any man get married?
Children, property.
Oh, but one sees all that. But he couldn't have operated in this case. He could have had her as his mistress, like his uncle. But then, when you think of the men one knows who are married and who they're married to, and what their real snotty little longings are underneath their proud watch and chains, their constant broken sidelong glances. Oh, I know all about it. Even if it's difficult to understand sometimes. Captain, you mustn't keep His Imperial Highness waiting. Not while I lecture you on marriage.
Goodbye, Countess.
Well.
Yes, Colonel.
I was just thinking what you were saying about marriage then. It really is the most lamentable thing for most of us, isn't it?
Mm.
I mean, as you say, it doesn't work, really. Only the appearances function, eh? Everyone knows the feelings. But what's the answer? What's the answer, do you think?
The only answer is not to be drawn into it. Like the captain.
No, I think you're wrong there. Radel would make a first-class husband.
You think so?
Absolutely. He's steadfast, sober, industrious, orderly. He likes orderly things, hates chaos. That's why marriage would suit him so well. That's what marriage represents, I suppose. I say, I am enjoying talking to you.
I am enjoying talking to you. Do you think Captain Radel will come back to us?
Oh, I should think so. Order out of chaos. I know, we'll keep an eye out for him, learn what the Archduke had to say to him. You did, wouldn't care to dance with such an old man, would you?
But of course. Delighted. Major Kuntz is a very uninspired dancer.
That's because he doesn't like it. Now, I love it. I'm so glad Radel got that invitation. Good boy. I am having a good time.
Vienna? A drawing room in the Countess Dalyanov's house. Night.
Alfred. What's the matter, my dear?
I'm sorry I woke you.
I should think you woke the entire street. Crying out like that.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Don't be silly. Here. Have some brandy.
I think I better go.
It's early yet. Why, it's early... I can't see. Look, it's only 1:30.
Still, I'd
you left
go.
Me last night at 3. And when you've gone, I can't sleep. I wake the moment you've gone. All I can do is think about you.
I know. Please forgive me. I'd better put these boots on.
Alfred, please come back to bed. I know you hate me asking you, but I do beg you, just for an hour. You can't go out now.
I need some air.
Darling.
Need my orderly on these occasions. I can't get on my...
Why did you wake?
Oh, it's huge.
Then you're crying again.
I know. Why do you always have to look at me?
Because I love you.
You'd look away.
That's why. What can I do, my darling?
Nothing. I must get these damn things. I'll have another brandy.
Of course.
It's like a disease.
What is?
All this incessant, silly weeping. It only happens, it creeps up on me when I'm asleep. No one else has ever noticed it. Why do you have to wake up?
Here. Alfred.
Oh.
Don't turn away from me.
My mouth tastes sour.
I didn't mean that. Anyway, what if it is? Don't turn your head away.
Please.
What is it? Me?
No. Hazel, the most beautiful, desirable woman I've ever had. It couldn't be.
And it's not easy to believe.
Sophia, it's me. It's like a disease.
You must feel deeply. So do I. Why do you think you've got me crying as well? No one's done that to me for years.
It's like... I can't!
It isn't like the clap that you got off some garrison whore. That's all over. You know it. You were cured. Cured. You've got a paper to say so. And even if you weren't, do you think that I would care?
It isn't that.
Then what is it? Why do you dream? Why do you sweat and cry out? And leave me in the middle of the night? Oh, God.
Here, have some more. I'll get some more.
No, that's fine.
Why don't you commit yourself?
Why don't you? My darling, try not to drink so much.
Oh, I've told you I drink. I drink heavily sometimes. I don't get drunk.
Yes, so you say.
Oh, it's the truth, Sophia.
What are you saying? No. Forget I asked. Don't take any of this as true, Alfred. I beg you. It's early in the morning. Everything's asleep. and indifferent now. Threatening to us. Both of us. You're in tears. You wake up in a depression, in a panic. You're dangerous. Frightened again. I'm in tears. Please don't. Please. Stay. Stay with me. I'll look after you. I'll make up. At least for something. I'll protect you. Protect you. And love you.
Look, I can protect myself.
But you can't. Not always. Can you? What is it?
I must go. I can't sit here.
Why can't you trust
me? I've told you I don't mean to hurt you.
And I believe you.
I just can't!
Have you never confided in anyone?
No.
Hasn't there ever been anyone? What about another man? I know friendship means a lot to you. What about Tausig?
No. At least only a very, very little. I did try one evening, but he doesn't welcome confidences. He doesn't know what to do with them. Or where to put them.
You mean nobody else? Not one? Your mother? Your grandfather? No one?
Oh, they might have been. Hmm? But I never did.
Why?
Oh, I suppose I waited too long, and then they were killed in an accident. Oh, look, you're shivering.
Please try. Everyone owes something to someone. You are in love with me, Alfred. I know you are. And you told me yourself. That must be something.
Oh, put this on.
What about you? You look better. Are you?
Yes. At least they go quickly. Just the bare time in the night when I'm having to force myself to do something as an exercise or a duty, like working late.
I tell you, you work too hard.
Sometimes I get caught in some relaxation. Sitting in a cafe, listening to gossip. And I enjoy that after a long day, and I'm curious. But if I listen to a conversation that's got seriously about politics, the Magyars, or merging with Germany, or something like that, I feel myself almost as if I were falling away and disappearing. I want to run. But I felt I should take a serious, applied interest in this sort. Ours is a complicated age. And I'm some small part of it, and I should devote as much attention and interest to it as I can muster. I should be giving up time.
What time, for heaven's sake? You already...
No, much more than I do. Much more. I use not even to try.
You mean I waste it?
But I can't relax or be at ease.
Why are you always so watchful? You always seem to be at the ready in some way. Listening for something. Some stray... chance thing.
I don't know what that means.
Please, Alfred, you've an early train in the morning.
Do you know, the only time I drink heavily is when I'm with you. No, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that, but when you're badgering me and sitting on my head and I can't breathe.
Why do you always have to make love to me with...
There you go!
Why? Why do you insist before we even begin?
I might ask you why you insist on turning the light on.
Because I want to look at your face. Is that so strange?
You must know. You must know. We're not all the same.
Why do you never kiss
me? But I do.
But never in bed.
Oh, let's go back.
And turn your head away.
Tired. Damn your eyes. I won't be catechized.
Why do you never speak?
What do you want of me? Well, I tell you, whatever it is, I can't give it. Can't and won't.
I thought it was only whores you didn't kiss or speak to.
You would know more about that. Excuse me.
If you leave me, you'll be alone.
That's what I want, to be left alone.
You'll always be alone.
Good. Splendid.
No, it isn't. You know it isn't. That's why you're so frightened. You'll fall alone.
So does everyone. Even if they don't know it.
You can't be saved alone.
I don't expect to be saved, as you put it. Not by you.
Or any other woman?
Or anyone at all.
What have I done?
Look, I am the guilty one, not you. Please forgive me.
Don't go. One feels very old at this time of night. It's a time of night when people die. People give up.
Please, Sophia.
You can't have your kind of competitive success and seclusion.
Good night, Sophia.
Good night.
Would you like to have tea?
When?
Tuesday.
I can't.
Wednesday.
Please. Yes, please.
Warsaw. Colonel Obdensky's office. Obdensky is reading a letter to Lieutenant Stanitsyn.
In haste, en route for Prague. Wherever I am, my dearest, you will trouble my heart. I can say no more, I cannot think. The work here will do me good, I expect. Try to do something yourself. This is a difficult time. I seem to... Speak out of nowhere. You deserve only the best, not the worst. Forgive me, Alfred. That's hers. My dearest love, why are you writing to me like this? You seem to have forgotten everything. It was not all like those short times during the night. The rest was different. Was underlined. Don't, I beg you, don't deceive yourself. Why don't you answer my letters? I wait for them. Give me a word or something that will do. At least something I can go over. I can do nothing. Now I am helpless. Loved one, don't... something. This. Forever your Sophia. P.S. Did you never intend coming that Wednesday? I can't believe it. What do you suppose he means? Where is it? This is a difficult time.
Well, the moneylenders are pressing pretty hard, sir. He sold his gold cigarette case and fancy watch.
Has he? You deserve only the best, not the worst. Odd sentiment for a distinguished officer, don't you think? You can't feel that sensitive about his extravagance. He's too reckless. Besides, as far as he knows, she's quite rich.
Maybe he's just bored with her.
I don't think so. I'd say he's a passionate man, a bit callous, too, and selfish. Very. But there's something in all this, Stenitzin.
Come to that, the Countess sounds pretty convincing.
I hope not. Yes, all right. Sure I do. Sit down. You seem to have lost your man, Countess.
For the moment, Colonel.
You mean you think you can get him back?
Possibly.
You want to?
What do you mean? I do what you tell me.
What's your assessment, Laredo?
Ambitious? Secretive? Violent? Vain? Extravagant? I expect you know as much as I do. You don't have to sleep with him to find that out.
Well, precisely. It doesn't seem to have added much to our total knowledge. However, patience. We're in no hurry. Captain Radle will be with us for a long time, yeah. Years and years. He'll probably improve with keeping. What's he doing with himself?
What he says, working. Of course, he's hard up for the moment, but he...
Have you offered him money?
Twice. He refused.
Won't take money from a woman. And I suppose you told him it didn't count between lovers?
Naturally.
And there's no woman in Prague, nowhere, anyone, no one-night stands or tuppenny stand-ups?
Nothing. He leaves his office in the war building every day at 4:15, goes down to the cafe, has a coffee or two, reads all the foreign newspapers, has an early dinner, then goes back to his office and works till about 10, even 11 or 12 sometimes.
He is telling the truth.
Occasionally he'll drop in for a drink somewhere on his way home, or meet his friend Tausig for half an hour. More often than not, he just sits alone.
Doing nothing?
Just sitting, looking.
Looking at what?
I don't know. What can you look at from a cafe window? Other people, I suppose. Watch.
A passing show.
Is there anything else?
No, my dear. Stanislaw will brief you.
Is it... May I have my letter?
I don't see why not.
No. I meant his. To me.
I'm afraid that's for the file. Sorry. I can send you a copy. I wonder if he will write again. And, Countess, don't forget to report, will you?
Prague. A cafe. Radle sits reading a newspaper. A few tables away, a young man sits. Tausig comes in.
Ah, Radle, there you are. Sorry I'm late.
What will you have?
I don't think I'll bother. I promised to meet someone in 10 minutes.
The one in the chorus of the opera house.
That's the one.
Where?
She's taking me to her lodgings.
Before the performance? Hope it doesn't affect her voice. What's she like?
She rattles. Nice big girl.
They always are.
She's got a girlfriend.
Thank you, now.
You seem awfully snobbish sometimes, Alfred.
Do I? I'm sorry, it's just that I'm not too keen on the opera. Are you going after her?
What?
Well, to the performance.
Oh, yes, I suppose so. Your head must be hardened by all those ciphers. Lohengrin, I think. What's it like?
Boring.
Yes, so I believe. Oh, well, I'm sure you won't have supper after. She really is quite nice. They both are.
No, thank you, really.
You're not going to Madame Heiser's, do I?
No.
Does that young man over there know you?
What young man?
Well, there's only one.
No, why?
He's done nothing but stare at you. Oh, he's turned away now. He knows we're talking about him.
Prague's as bad as Vienna.
He's just giggling to himself, as far as I can see.
Probably a cretin, or a Czech who hates Austrian army officers. I can't face another of those evenings or dinners, here or anywhere. They all talk about each other. They're all clever, and they're afraid of each other's cleverness. They're like beautiful, schooled, performing dogs, scrutinizing and listening for an unsteady foot. It's like hunting without the pig. Everyone sweats and whoops and rides together, and at any time, at any moment, the pig may turn out to be you. Stick.
Well, if I can't tempt you, can I have one of your cigarettes?
Huh?
Well, I say, the old case back, eh?
And the watch. Everything, in fact.
Good for you. Do you make a killing?
I tip my mare against Stambar's new gelding. Do you want a loan?
Oh, thanks. The Countess isn't bothering you, is she?
I told you, no. We never got on. She was prickly and we were always awkward together. It's like talking to my sister, who died last week, incidentally, consumption. I can't say I thought about it more than 10 minutes.
What will you do?
No? Oh, have a quiet dinner. Go for a walk.
A walk? Oh, I don't know. Well, if I can't persuade you... Bye.
Excuse me, sir.
Well?
Or may I glance at your paper?
Yes, if you wish. The waiter will bring you one if you ask.
I only want to see what's on at the opera.
Lohengrin.
Oh. Thank you. No. I don't think I like Wagner much. Do you?
No. Now, please, go away.
I know what you're looking for.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Nothing! Let me go!
You pig, you little upstart pig! What do you mean?
A bedroom. Radel is in bed with a young soldier, Paul.
Why did I wait so long? Paul?
Yeah?
Why wouldn't you keep the light on?
I don't know. I just prefer the dark.
But why, my darling? You're so exquisite to look on.
You mean it's me? You look all right.
What is it, then? What are you dressing for?
Got to get back to barracks, haven't I?
What's your unit?
That'd be telling, wouldn't it?
Oh, come on, I can find out.
Yes. General staff and all that, isn't it?
Paul, what is it? What have I done? Why did you open the door?
Four young soldiers come into the room and beat Captain Radel to a pulp. While they do this, Paul finishes dressing and pockets Radel's gold cigarette case, cigar case, watch and chain, gold crucifix, notes, and change. The four soldiers go.
Don't be too upset, love. You'll get used to it.
...1902. A ballroom in Vienna. A winter evening some years later. A fancy dress ball is in progress. The costumes are exquisite. Both men's and women's clothes are from all periods of history. Lady Godiva is there, and Marie Antoinette, the Tsarina, and Lord Nelson. Two guests have just finished singing a pastiche version of the opening duet, Susanna and Figaro, from The Marriage of Figaro. The ball is a glittering occasion. but it is not typical. All the guests at this ball are men. Radel, now a colonel, is in conversation with the host, Baron von Epp. Von Epp is impeccably dressed as Queen Alexandra. Colonel Radel is simply wearing his full dress uniform and decorations.
Radel, how good to see you. Now, where have you been? You're all so busy. Everyone says you're in counterintelligence or something, and you're frightfully grand now. I hope you're not spying on anyone here, Colonel. You know, I won't have that sort of thing. I only give this ball once a year, and everyone invited is under the obligation of strictest confidence. No gossiping after. Otherwise, you can all do as you like. Oh, who's this?
May I introduce Lieutenant Stefan Kovash, Baron Fournier.
Baron? Oh, very nice. Now, why are you both in mufti? You know my rule.
I wouldn't call the dress uniform of the Royal Imperial Army exactly mufti.
I'm surprised they let you in. I expect you know everyone. Or will do.
It's rather astonishing. Almost everyone.
It's not astonishing at all. Oh, Colonel Radel, this is Captain Steinmar. Aren't you? Under the veil? Yes, she is.
Lemberg, 7th Galicia.
That's right, the Sitchinsky affair.
Yeah, yes. That's the Tsarina over there. I don't know who she is exactly. Russian spy, I should think. Now watch yourself, my dear. The colonel eats a spy in bed every morning, don't you, Alfred? That's what they all tell me. It's even in the papers. And this is Ferdy. Didn't you think he sang divinely?
Superbly.
He really has a fine voice. I thought he was a real soprano at first.
What do you mean? I am a real soprano.
Isn't that Major Advocate Kunz?
Where? Oh, yes, I see. Nelson, you mean. Doesn't he look marvellous? One arm and all. Wonder where he keeps it. He's my insurance.
What?
If there's ever any trouble, Kunz is my legal insurance. Very influential, that one. She'll deal with anything that ever came up. Secret, please. Anything. Spies. Oh, no, no. Spies is you, isn't it, Alfred? You're the spy catcher. We'll leave any lovely little spies to you. Wait till he catches you, little Tsarina. I daren't think what he'll do to you. Hey, Alfred, what do you do to naughty little spies?
I tie them over the back of my mare, Christina, on a leading rein, and beat them with my crop at a slow canter.
How delicious. Oh, now her earring's fallen off. You've excited her so. I haven't seen your Lieutenant Kovach before, Alfred.
He's only just graduated from law school.
Oh, all that studying and hardening the body in noontide heat and sweating and horses. Oh, you all look quite beautiful. Well, some of you. But I hate to think of you in a war, a real war. Oh, come along, come along. No one's drinking half enough yet. Alfred, more champagne.
Yes.
Oh, we are.
Thank you.
And another. Now you're behind the rest of us, Alfred. And a good place for you, said someone. Oh, and Ferdy, you have some more. Good for the voice. Bit strained tonight, dear. Now I want you to do una donna a 15 anni.
Oh, I don't think I can.
Oh, you can do anything. Practically. You know, he has hair on his instep, like a goat. Show them.
No.
Oh, well. Where have you two come from, Alfred? The lieutenant looks rather glum.
We were at the Hofburg for an hour or two.
Oh, no wonder he looks glum. Now, come along, drink up, lieutenant. I can't have anyone sober at my party. I suppose you had to go, being so powerful now and impressive.
Oh, come along.
No, man. No, I hear it's quite true. Oh, Captain Steinbar, you remember the colonel then?
Oh, years ago. I always knew he'd make a brilliant officer, we all did. Congratulations, colonel.
Mind your wimple, Captain. She gets drunk too easily, that one. Yeah. Which is probably why she's still only a humble captain in number 77. Are you sure your friend, the lieutenant, wouldn't rather be back at the Hofburg?
He'll be all right. Try and leave him alone.
Oh, I can't leave anyone that pretty alone. I say, do you want the Tsarina? She's Kunz's, really, but she's pretty available. And Kunz isn't the kind who makes scenes. He doesn't care. He's a bit cold, too.
Did you say Kunz? Isn't a man like that taking a bit of a risk?
Aren't we all?
Yes, but for someone in his position...
We are none of us safe. This is the celebration of the individual against the rest. The usses and the thems. The free and the constricted. The gay and the dreary. The lonely and the mob. The little Tsarina there... And the Emperor Francis Joseph. Now tell your friend it's so, Alfred.
Oh, I agree.
Forgive me, I feel I'm unwanted.
Nonsense. You are wanted. Tell him not to be a silly, solemn boy, Alfred. And Lieutenant, have some more champagne.
Yes, Baron, thank you.
Actually, Kunz is an odd one. He seems to take appalling risks, but he knows the right people everywhere and anywhere, and he'd sell anyone. And I know him. He's my first cousin. He'd do it to me.
Blood not thicker than water?
His blood is thinner than anything, my dear.
Darling, she wants to know.
Oh, what is it, Ferdy? I'm talking.
The Tsarina wants to know, are you really a baron?
Tell her she'll find out if she's not careful.
Are you the Baroness, then, Ferdy?
Oh, I let him. He fancies himself chasing the ladies, but he's just the same as I am. Nothing more at all.
What about the Lieutenant?
Oh, I should think so. Either too stupid to know it or hasn't woken up to it yet.
Or doesn't want to wake up to it. Looks a bit dreary.
Do you fancy him? You'll have the Colonel after you. You'll be shot down.
Oh, Vienna is so dull. All that Spanish gloom at the Hofburg gets in everywhere like the moth.
You need mothballs.
The Viennese gull themselves, they're gay, but they're just stiff-jointed aristocrats like puppets, grubbing little tradesmen or Jews and chambermaids making a lot of 1, 2, 3 noises all the time. Secretly, they're feeling utterly thwarted and empty. The bourgeoisie don't enjoy themselves, except at someone else's expense or misfortune, and all those cavorting clever Jews are even more depressing, pretending to be generous and entirely unspontaneous. Hungarians, they are gay. Perhaps that's because they're quite selfish and pig-headed. Oh, Kovac, oh dear. Are you Hungarian, Lieutenant? Oh, well, never mind. That's me again, I'm afraid. Speak first, think afterwards.
No, Baron, you're ahead of everyone.
Only wish I were. Poles are fairly gay. You're Polish or something, aren't you, Alfred? And somehow they're less common than Russians. Serbs are impossible, of course. Savage, untrustworthy, worse than Hungarians. Infidels in every sense. Oh, I think your friend despises me because I'm such a snob. What is your father, Lieutenant?
A chef at the Volksgarten restaurant.
No, and do you think I'm a snob?
You appear to be.
Well, of course I am. Alfred will tell you how much. However, I am also a gentleman, which is preferable to being one of our dear Burgomaster Luger's mob. Taste, a silk shirt, perfumed hand, an ancient Greek ring are things that come from a way not only of thinking, but of being. They can add up to a man. Would you like to go for a walk on the terrace, Lieutenant?
Sir?
The view is rather remarkable on an evening like this.
Alfred?
We'll join you, or come back soon. I want to ask the Colonel's advice about some espionage. Well, my dear friend, how are you? You're prosperous, I hear.
I had a small legacy.
Good. A man like you knows what money's for. And you look so well. Forgive me for sending the boy away for a moment.
Oh, that's all right. He'll find something to amuse him.
Would it be impertinent to ask... You're not wasting your time there, are you?
It would.
What? Oh, I see. Oh, yes, quite right. Only I admire you, Red. So does everyone else. You're a credit to everyone. I just want you to succeed in everything you undertake.
Thank you.
Yaroslav, my dear fellow, have some champagne.
Thank you.
And let me introduce Colonel Radel, Major Advocate Kunz.
Colonel!
Oh, Ferdy, that's naughty.
Colonel, come over here. I want to talk to you. It's secret.
Alfred knows all the secrets. It's his job.
Excuse me.
Oh, don't you think my little Ferdy is brilliant, Major Kunz? He'd make an admirable Carabino.
I think he's prettier as Susanna.
Perhaps. He made that costume himself. Mm. Yes, up off the night.
Did you see who I came with?
No, why?
Good. I thought I'd spice your party a bit this year.
What have you done?
I brought a woman.
What? Oh, what a good idea. Oh, what a stroke. Where is she?
Oh, that's the point. Later on, we'll all have to guess.
Oh, and find out. Yes, marvellous. We'll unmask her, and I'll offer a prize to the man who strips her.
And I think a punishment for anyone who is mistaken.
Exactly. What fun. Oh, I do enjoy these things. Wish we could have one every month. I'm so glad you liked Ferdy.
How long is it now?
3 years.
Long time.
For me. And let's be honest, for nearly all of us. And women. No, 3 years is a big bite out of a lifetime when you never know when it may come to an end or what you may have missed. Mm. But he's very kind. He's still young, but his growing old gnaws at me a bit, you know. Not that he still doesn't look pretty good in the raw. Oh, he does. But about me, he doesn't seem to mind at all.
Who's the little flower with Redl?
No idea. Something's made her wilt. They've both just come from the Hof Ball.
So have I.
Of course, yeah, poor you. And with your lady escort. Now, I wonder if I'll spot her. Now, let me see. That's her.
That is the doorman at the Clomza Hotel.
Oh. Well, I see I'm not going to. What on earth made you go to the Hof Ball?
I thought it might be amusing to go there first. Look at the Colonel.
Yes, he's enjoying himself.
I've never seen him like that before.
How many people have seen you? He's letting his hair down. What's left of it? It's starting to go. I noticed just now. He's a handsome devil.
Very.
And a brilliant officer, they say. Well, I suppose you should be if you're at the top in counter-espionage.
Preferably. He works morning and night.
He's only a railway clerk's son. Did you know? So I suppose he's had to. Work, I mean. But he plays to look at him. He told me once how hard he tried to change.
Yes?
Well, tried everything, apparently. Resolutions, vows, religion, medical advice, self-exhaustion. Used to flog a dozen horses into the ground in a day. And then gardening, if you please. Fencing. All those studies they do. Oh, you do, of course. Military history, ciphers, telegraphy, campaigns. He knows hundreds of them by heart. He knows his German literature. He speaks superb French and Russian, Italian, Polish, Czech, and Turkish, if you please.
Not bad for a Ruthenian railway clerk.
As you say. Oh, take your eyes off Redl. He's not after the Tsarina or Ferdy, is he? No, I don't think so. He's just being himself for once. Don't you think we should all form an empire of our own?
What's that?
Well, instead of all joining together, you know, one empire of 60 million Germans, like they're always going on about, what about an empire of us? Hmm? X million queens.
Who would there be?
Well, you and me, for a start. I'd be Minister of Culture, I think. Radel could catch any spies. Women spies. And you could do what you liked.
And who else?
Well, not Jews, I think. They're the least queer, in my opinion. Their mothers won't let them. Germans, Prussians, they're very queer. All that dueling. Poles, not so much.
Italian?
No, they're like women, only better. Women con brio. Hungarians are just goats, of course. Some are quite nice. French, too spry to let life play a trick on them.
What about the English?
Next, after the Germans.
I agree with that. Queen Victoria was quite clearly a man.
Ah, but she was German, wasn't she?
Ah, yes. Still, you're right about the English.
I believe Radel has an eaten straw boater hanging over his bed as a trophy. They say it belongs to the younger son of the British ambassador. How's that son of yours? Well, I was only asking.
He's well.
I'm sorry. Must be difficult. If people will get married.
Well, I did.
The boy knows nothing?
Nothing.
His mother hasn't...
No. And she won't.
Why not? Doesn't she...
She pretends.
Ah, yeah, they do. And the boy?
He's all right, if that's what you mean.
Do you mean you're not all right?
No. Is this Radel's flower coming over now?
Yes.
My dear boy, you must meet Major Advocate Coombs. Lieutenant... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Kovacs.
Ah, yeah. Hungarian. Enjoy the terrace. I knew you would. Oh, thank heavens the music stopped. Alfred's been having the giggles with little Ferdy while you've been away. Do have another glass, dear boy.
The manager said to me, we don't allow ladies in here without male escort. And so I pointed at the Baron and said, what do you think
here? Is this your first visit to this kind of thing, Lieutenant Kovac?
Yes, sir.
Oh, don't call him sir, just because he's dressed as Nelson. He's only an old army lawyer. I must say, you look very fine with that black patch. We must find a Lady Hamilton for him before the evening's out, mustn't we? I was saying, where do you keep your arm?
Voila!
Ah, there it is, you see.
Ah, that's better.
You danced very well, all the same.
Would you care to...
What?
Dance.
Well, thank you, I'm a bit hot.
Must be cold on that terrace.
You see, this is a place for people to come together. People who are often in their everyday lives rather lonely and even miserable and feel hunted. As if they had a spy catcher like the Colonel on their heels.
Yes, of course, I understand that.
And because of the Baron's panache and generosity, and let's be frank, recklessness.
Oh, look who's talking.
They come together and become something else. Like sinners in a church.
2 monks in the street.
I like monks.
2 monks walking in the street and one saying his rosary to himself. Well, the other passes by as he's saying Hail Mary. And the other stops and says, hello, Ursula.
You're not enjoying yourself much, Lieutenant, are you?
Not at all.
You mustn't judge the world at carnival time. There is such a thing, such a contract, such a bond as marriage.
You should know, poor soul.
And there is friendship, comradeship. In the midst of all this, I ask you not to sneer, or I will beat your sanctimonious head in.
Yaroslav.
Aristotle, if you've heard of him.
I have.
Oh, please take no notice.
I'm glad to hear it. He says it can be either good or pleasant or useful, which is true, but not always. But he also says it lasts in such men only as long as they keep their goodness. And goodness, unfortunately, Lieutenant, does not last.
No?
No. And don't be insolent.
Then don't be offensive.
Oh, tempers, darlings, tempers.
It seldom lasts, shall we say. But then such men are rare anyway.
Good evening, Colonel Reddell.
I don't...
Kupfer, Major Kupfer, sir. General Staff, 9th Corps, Prague.
Well, this is Vienna. What are you doing here?
Same as you, sir. On leave.
I'm not on leave.
I didn't necessarily mean literally.
Well, you'll remember Steinbach, then?
Yeah, of course.
Major?
It was a blow about Szyszynski, wasn't it?
Was it?
Wasn't he a particular friend of yours?
I scarcely knew him. We neither of us did.
Why did you agree to be his second? It wasn't a very correct thing for such a correct officer as you to be doing.
I thought he should have support. No one liked him.
But you've always been popular, Colonel.
Are you being... Because if
so... You only have my admiration, Colonel. With all the advantages I was born with, I only wish I could ever go so far. You seem to be having an entertaining time just there, Colonel. Please, don't let me interrupt.
Hey, Fräulein, champagne, please.
Have you heard about that extraordinary Dr. Schöpfer?
No, who is he?
Oh, don't you know? My dear, he sounds divine. The Tsarina went there last night.
What does he do?
Oh, just talks, my dear, for hours. Not a smile. Medical reason, all that, but if you say you're a student, you can get in.
Well, what's he talk about?
Why, us. He sounds the absolute scream. Can't stop talking about it.
Us. You speak for yourself.
Well, what's he say, then, Ferdy? Oh, that we're all demented, something cocks on the end.
Well, he's right, of course.
And that we're all potential criminals, and some of us should even be castrated.
Some of us.
And that we're a warning symptom of the crisis, you know, civilization and decline in Christian whatnot.
Oh, yeah, and he goes on about marriage and the family being the basis of the empire, and we must be rooted out. She says he's a scream.
Is he a Jew? Oh, but of course, darling. She says he looks like Shylock's mother.
But who is he?
A neurologist, I believe. Nerves.
Well, I'm sure he'd get on mine.
I think he's one of those people who insist they can penetrate the inner secrets of your own nature.
I understand the inner secrets of my nature perfectly well. I don't admire them, but I do know them. Anyway, better than this Dr. Scherfer.
Silly mare.
And I'm quite happy as I am. I'm no criminal, thank you. And I don't corrupt anything that isn't already quite clearly corrupt, like this ghastly city. On the contrary, I bring style, wit, pleasure, energy, and good humour to it that it wouldn't otherwise have.
Well said, Baron.
More drinks, everyone. And music.
I went to a doctor once, and he just said, pull your socks up. Do you know what he told me to do?
What?
Go into the army. Find yourself a nice girl. Get married. So, well, naturally, I went into the army. Yeah. Well, artillery. Mm. And in the second week, I've been seduced by the corporal of horse and a sub-lieutenant.
Oh, I went to a doctor like a silly thing when I was a student. He just looked very agitated and told me there was nothing he could do and go away. A few years later, I heard he'd cut his throat.
Well, I plucked up courage to tell our family doctor. Mm. And I said I'd like to be sent away to some special clinic in Vienna. Well, I thought he was going to go raving mad. Vienna, he said. Vienna, you want to go to Vienna? I'll send you to hell. You'll find all you want there, you quivering, scheming little sissy.
When I came back to Vienna, it seemed like paradise, but now I do get a bit bored. Oh, not here, of course, Baron, but do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Same tired old exhibits. Mm. Nothing new ever seems to come in.
I remember the first time a man tickled the palm of my hand with his middle finger when we shook hands, and then later he told me what he was. I was very religious then, and I thought he was wicked. I really did at the time.
Perhaps you were right.
I went to our priest. He quoted Aquinas and said anything that was against nature was against God. He always kept an eye on me afterwards, always pulling me up and asking me questions.
Yes, well, my priest said you can't be like that. You're a soldier, a man of courage and honour and virtue. Your uniform itself embodies the glory of the empire and the church.
But I worshipped Radetzky at the time, and he knew it. So he said, do you think someone like Radetzky could ever been like that? I didn't know about Julius Caesar and Alexander then.
I hate these screamers, don't you, Colonel Riddle?
I used to go to the priest after I'd confessed I was in love with Fritz. Oh, then I used to lie like crazy about it and say nothing was happening, although we were having sex regularly. And then he'd give me absolution and say, it may not take on immediately. Oh, if Fritz just moved his little finger at me, I'd go back. Oh. And then he went with a girl suddenly and got married. Oh. And when she was pregnant, we had beers together. He pinched my arm and kissed me. And then he laughed and said, oh, you know what you are. Find someone else the same. Oh, but he laughed.
Oh, I didn't think so, you soppy little thing. I only went to a doctor once, and he just said, take more exercise, dear. So I did.
Baron, forgive me. Forgive me, I'd... I must go.
Someone pick up poor Ferdy. Oh, you silly boy. I knew you shouldn't have flirted with Colonel Radle. He's a dangerous man. Are you better? There now. Now come along, everybody. That's quite enough melodrama. On with the ball, I suppose.
Vienna. A lecture given by an eminent member of the Institute of Neuropathology, Dr. Julius Schöpfer.
The evasion, naturally, of responsibility. For instance, in enjoying the physical sensations of the body without any reference to the responsibilities involved in the relationship, or indeed to society, or any beliefs, such as a belief in God, they can never in their ignorance, some men say folly, in their infirmity, never attain that complete love, the love that only is possible between men and women, whose shared interests include the blessed gift of children and grandchildren, which alone, I think, most people would agree even today, which alone
gives a grand and enduring purpose to sexual congress.
Now, gentlemen,
these trays are caused by regression to the phallic stage of libido development and can be traced to what is in fact a flight from incest.
Dresden. A hill clearing outside the town. Winter. Oblensky and Stanitsin wait.
Here he comes, Colonel.
To the minute, as you'd expect. You'd better give me the file, Stanitsin. Oh, just a minute. Have you got the parcel I asked for?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, indeed. Or rather, this is Mr. Smith.
Look, I haven't time to waste fooling
Quite.
About.
You got our message, and blessedly you are here, Colonel Radle.
And who the devil are you?
Colonel Oblensky.
Oblensky?
It won't take you long, Colonel. I know your regiment is waiting for you, loosely speaking. I have a file here, which I would like to acquaint you with, briefly. Would you care to sit down? Just a matter of minutes. I have no anxiety about you reaching for your revolver to shoot either of us. I know you will realize that all this file is duplicated back in Warsaw and St. Petersburg. What I do beg of you is to pause before you think of turning it on yourself. I think we can find a satisfactory and probably long-term arrangement which will work out quite well for all of us and no trouble.
May I see?
Naturally. This is Lieutenant Stanitsin.
Mr. Smith.
My pen name, sir.
Mess bills in Lemberg, 1889. Tailors' bills, jewelers' stables, coach builders, tobacconists. Now, what is all this? They're just bills.
Rather unusual bills for a young officer of no independent means.
I have an uncle.
You have no uncle, Colonel. Two brothers only. Both happily married. And penniless. One bill from Cartier's. A gold cigarette case inscribed... To dearest Stefan, with love, Alfred.
My nephew.
Your bank statements from the Austro-Hungarian Bank in both Vienna and Prague for the month of February.
Well?
I'm sorry, Colonel, we'll soon get this over. One letter, date February the 17th, 1901. My darling, don't be angry. When I make no sign, you know, or should know, that I love you. Please see me again. All I long for is to lie beside you, nothing else. I don't know what to do to kill the time before I see you again and watch you. How I can do something to pass the time.
It is no crime to write a love letter, Colonel, even if it isn't in the style of Pushkin.
The style's tolerable enough for a man in love. But this letter is not addressed to a woman.
There's no name on it.
There is on the envelope.
Not very convincing, Colonel.
Well, those, if you just glance through them quickly, are signed affidavits from... very well. The page of the Grand Hotel, a musician at the Folks Garden. This is only the last 6 weeks, you understand. A waiter at Sacker's, a corporal in the 7th Corps in Prague, a boatman in Vienna, a pastry cook, a compositor on the Deutsches Volksblatt, and a reporter on the Neue Freie Presse. One right-wing paper, one liberal, eh?
Whores. Bribed, perjuring whores.
Yes. Against the word of a distinguished officer in the Royal Imperial Army. And... Oh, dear. Stanitsin. Photographs.
Sir.
Oh, my God.
Offer the Colonel some brandy. I think I'll have some, Stanitsin. Now that's all over. Let us all have some. Forgive me, Colonel. Now, time is short for us. What you decide to do is up to you. There are three courses open to you. One we have mentioned. The second is to leave the army. And the third is to remain in the army and continue with your brilliant career. Do you know what Russia spent on espionage last year, Colonel? 9 million rubles. Nine. This year it'll be even more. What do your people spend? Half? No, I've watched you for more than 10 years, and you'd be surprised, probably, or perhaps I'm wrong, about how much I know about the kind of man you are. What can you do? Change your way of life? It's getting desperate already, isn't it? You don't know which way to turn. You're up to your eyeballs in debts. What could you do? Get thrown out? Exposed for everything you are, or what the world would say you are? Would you, do you think, could you change your way of life? What else do you want after all these years? What would you do at your age? Go back to base and become a waiter or a washer-up? Sit all alone in cafes again, constantly watching? What are you fit for? The same as me, my dear friend, the same as me. And very good indeed you are at it, soldiering, war, and treachery, or the treachery that leads to wars. The game. It's a fine one. And no one's better at it in Europe than me. At the moment. Heavy turnover, sometimes. Tell me, do none of your brother officers know or suspect?
Kovash, Kupfer, Steinmeier, no.
And Kunz? Kunz's only real indiscretion is the Baron's annual ball, and he could always say he went as a relation, or even as a tourist, even though it's hardly respectable. We've never caught him out in all these years. Have we, Stanitsin? He does, doesn't he?
I assume so.
The other two, Steinbauer and Kupfer, well, they seem to have left worm cast all over Europe, so they're no threat to you. And Kovach, he's only been with you, hasn't he?
Yes.
Sure.
Colonel Oblensky, I may find myself here before you in this position, but I remind you that I am an officer in the Austrian Chief of Staff's counter-espionage department. I know how to interrogate myself. The answer's yes.
Oh, I'm the last to underestimate you, Colonel. Last report from General Staff Headquarters, January the 5th. Supremely capable, learned, intuitive and precise in command, tactful. Excellent manners. And now your handling of the corps exercise on Monday. He is uncommonly striking, both as a battalion and regimental commander. And there's your regiment, the 77th Infantry. Didn't the Emperor call it my beautiful 77? Oh, you certainly chose the right career, Colonel. Cigarette?
No.
I think the really interesting thing about you, Radel, is that you yourself are really properly aware of your own distinction, as you should be. If you ever do feel any shame for what you are, you don't accept it like a simpleton. You heave it off, like a horse that's fallen on you. And the result is, I suppose, what they mean by that splendid Viennese style. Ah, the time. Yes, we must be going. Give the Colonel his package.
Is that all?
You must be returning to the regiment, Colonel.
What's this?
Mr. Smith will contact you when you've had a few days to rest and recover, generally. The package contains 7,000 kronen in notes. Far more than you pay, Colonel.
Vienna. Radel's apartment, baroque and luxurious. Afternoon.
Is that?
Oh, Kupfer, why don't you knock?
I knew you were alone.
What's the time?
4. Shall I open the shutters?
It's enough.
Sun's quite hot. I waited till your little boyfriend left.
Very courteous. Well?
I've news.
Bad, no doubt.
Afraid so.
I'll have with it.
Stefan was married secretly this morning to the Countess Delyanov.
Naturally. The bitch! Does she want to see me?
Why, yes. She's waiting.
Well, go and get her. And then go away. No. Wait outside.
Alfred?
So, you pulled it off.
Alfred, we've endured all of that. Can't we?
No. What's he doing marrying you?
He loves me. No more.
I suppose you're carving.
I'm having his child, Alfred.
I knew it! Knew it!
He would have married me. He was disgusted by your behavior.
Oh?
You must admit, Alfred, telling him I was Jewish wasn't very subtle. For you.
Well, you are, aren't you? And I don't believe you told him.
No, I hadn't. But my not telling him was cowardly, not vulgar, like yours was. You surprise me, Alfred.
And he'll have to resign his commission, as he's no means.
He wants to go into journalism.
And become a politician.
Alfred, we had such feeling for each other once.
I didn't, you Jewish prig. You whited sepulchre. Does he know what you really are? Apart from a whore? A whoring spy?
No, he doesn't. No one knows except you. It's extraordinary you should have kept it a secret. I don't expect you to behave differently now.
Don't count on it, you little Jewish spy.
I'm not. Not now, Alfred. You know I... It was my husband. When he was alive,
don't I... snivel. You took me in.
I didn't. I loved you.
Well, I didn't love you. I love Stefan. We just fooled one another. Oh, I try to hoax myself too, but not really often. So tonight's your wedding night. I tell you this, you'll never know that body like I know it. The lines underneath his eyes. Do you know how many there are? Do you know one has less than the other? And the scar behind his ear. And the hairs in his nostrils, which has the most? What colour they are, in what light? The mole on where? Where, Sophia? I know the place here between the eyes, the dark patches like slate, like blue when he's tired, really tired, the place for a blow or a kiss or a bullet. You'll never know like I know. You can't. The backs of his knees, the pattern on the soles of his feet, which trouble him, and so I used to wash them and bathe them for hours. His thick waist and how long are his thighs compared to his calves. You've not looked at him. You never will.
Stop it.
You don't know what to do with that. And now you've got it.
God, I'm weary of your self-righteousness and all your superior railing and your glib cant about friendship and the army. And the way you all roll out your little parade. Michelangelo and Socrates and Alexander and Leonardo. God, you're like a guild of housewives pointing out Catherine the Great.
So you'll turn Stefan into another portly middle-aged father with... What did you say once? Snotty little longings under their watch chains and glances of big, unruptured bottoms.
Alfred, every one of you ends up as you well know, with a bottom quite different. Much plumper and far wider than any ordinary man.
You think, people like you, you've got a formula for me. You think I'm hobbled, as you say. But I'm free of you anyway. You. What about you? I can resist you.
Do you know? Remember what you once said to me? I can never blame you. You are my heart.
I do blame you. I was lying. And Stefan is my heart.
He said you told him I was Jewish. And what I looked like, what I would look like, drooping, hairy skin and flab, and so on.
And now you're going to be a mother. You think you're a river or something, I suppose?
That's right, Alfred. A sewer. Your old temple built over a sewer.
Sophia, why don't we...
No, Alfred. I'm in your grip. But I'll make no bargains. Do as you wish.
I bought him a beautiful new gelding last week.
It should be back in your stables by now. And your groom's got all the other...
Get out!
I'm going, Alfred. Do as you wish. You may think a trick was played on you once, but you repaid and replayed it 1,000 times over. I pity you. Really?
Don't. I'm really doing quite well. Well? Nothing. I suppose you think you're moving in.
Do you want me to draw up a full report on your file on the counter?
That file is my property, and you'll do as you're told.
I'm going to sleep. Close the shutters.
Vienna. The red lounge of the Zacher Hotel. Riedel and Kupfer are drinking together.
Another?
No. I'm going.
So soon?
Why St. Petersburg, for heaven's sake?
Because I've signed the order and General Staff is not equipped to countermand orders. It works on the sweet Viennese roundabout method. Anyway, there's no one else.
But a whole year... I don't even speak Russian. It's nonsense.
Not to the Bureau. And now you can learn Russian as I did. You should pick it up in half that time. It's the vowels that'll bring you down.
Thank you.
I'll get you back before the year's out.
You don't are worry. Sure of yourself, aren't you?
I have to be, don't I? And why not? Everyone is interested in doubts. This is an age of iron certainties. That's what they want to know about, run by moneymakers. Large armies, munitions men, money makers for money makers. You were born with a silver saber up your whatnot. To St. Petersburg. I'll give you some names and addresses.
If only you'd at least admit it's because of Misha. Why can't you be honest?
Because honesty is no use to you. People who don't want it are always yelling the place down for it like some grizzling kid. When they get it, they're always miserable. Besides, Misha is getting married, as you know.
I thought you put the stopper on that.
Well, I didn't think we should tie him to a girl in a confectionery shop. Broad-faced, big-hipped little housefrau who can hardly read and write, and what's more, doesn't care. All chocolates and childbirth. Still, if he wants that, he shall have it. It's a poor reward. Sad, too.
You do pick them, don't you?
Yes, but that is the nature of it. Marriage has never occurred to you, for instance, has it? Yes, and Stefan, I've let them go their own ways. If that's all, if that's the sum of it, if that's what they want.
At least be honest with yourself. The girl came round again last night.
Oh, did she, then? I told Max to throw her out. Next time he'll throw her down the stairs.
And then she'll end up in hospital as well.
Oh, damn it, he's only got a nervous breakdown, whatever you call it nowadays.
She says he's off his head.
Nonsense. He's always been overstrung. Maybe a bit unbalanced, he'll recover. And then he can marry her.
And he calls me cruel.
You were born like it. All your sort of people are. It's expected of you.
And what about your sort of people, then?
Sometimes it's inescapable. I'm still nicer than you, Kupfer.
Why do you hate me, Alfred? Why, then?
I've said often enough, no one, and not you, is to call me Alfred in public.
Then why do you let me live with you?
You don't. I allow you a room in my apartment.
Exactly. You know better than anyone about jealousy.
It's a discipline like Russian. You master it or you don't. It's up to you, isn't it? Nope. Here's Herzendorf and Merle.
Who's the boy they've got with them?
Try and restrain your curiosity a little.
Ah, General?
General.
General. Lieutenant Jasharbek here tells me their great automobile and chauffeur outside belong to you.
Yes, sir. New toy, I'm afraid.
Expensive toy. Don't see many like that. Thought it must belong to some fat Jew. Oh, don't misunderstand me. The vehicle itself is an impeccable taste, Radel, like everything to do with you.
Will you join us?
Sir? Just having a quick dinner. Brought some work with us, then back to the office.
Yeah, Lieutenant Jasharbek is the only one who seems able to take down the General's notes faster.
Well, quickly then. I wanted a word with you.
Waiter. I was just celebrating some good fortune. My uncle in Galicia has just left me a legacy.
Well done. Good. Yes, very good taste. Though I still prefer a good pair of horses. Can't run an army with automobiles. No, but you know, it's not that the Jews themselves are especially rotten. It's what they represent. For instance, no belief in service. How can an empire survive without the idea of service? Look at the Jews in Galicia. You must know, Radel. Getting them into the army, quite impossible.
Oh, indeed. And the high percentage of desertion.
Really, I didn't know that.
Oh, 19%.
Well, there you are. They're outsiders, they feel outsiders. So their whole creed of life must be based on duplicity, by necessity.
I agree, sir. I mean, even their religion seems to be little more than a series of rather pious fads.
Quite. We're all Germans, all of us, and that's the way of it. At least Jews, when they get on, remind us of it.
Which I suppose is a useful function.
Talking of that, Radel, I want to congratulate you on your handling of that Krakow spy affair. Everyone, absolutely everyone, most impressed and highly delighted, including the Emperor himself.
Oh, I'm deeply honored, sir.
Well, you do honor to us. I see you already have the Order of the Iron Crown, second class. Merle here is recommending you for the military service medal.
Oh, I don't know what
I... You know your stuff, Radel. You've an extraordinary understanding and intuition as far as the criminal intelligence is concerned. And there it is. Spies are criminals like any other. We all just use them like any thief or murderer.
That's right. He's right.
Krakow is our first bastion against Russia. If war breaks out, it's imperative those fortresses don't crack. They'll go for them first. If that little ring you rounded up had succeeded, we could have lost the war the day it started. From April, I'm proposing that you take over the Prague Bureau. Rumpler will direct Vienna.
Well, I'm overwhelmed, sir.
They're to be confirmed, of course.
Of course.
Congratulations, Colonel. To your continued success in Prague.
Prague!
Well, gentlemen. Goodbye, Radel.
Sir.
Oh, Lieutenant Jasharbek here tells me he's your nephew.
That's right, sir.
Good. Well, the general staff can do with all the Radels that are around.
So, gentlemen.
Sir. Rumpler would stay in Vienna, naturally, with his coat of arms. Still... Prague.
Nephew.
Not yet. I can't let an unknown lieutenant from nowhere ride about Vienna in my new Austro-Daimler Phaeton. And I promised him faithfully the other day he could drive it himself sometime. He's quite clever. Mechanically. Oh, you going? Aruba, send me the waiter over. Want the bill?
Yes, sir.
No, not him. The, young one.
A hospital ward. Bredel visits his former lover, Misha Lipschutz.
Misha, how are you? I've brought you a hamper. Orderly, see that he gets all of it.
Sir.
Feeling any better? When do you think you'll be out then, eh? You look quite well, you know. Perhaps you're still not rested enough. Misha. Can't he hear me? He looks all right.
Perhaps your voice sounds strange. Just a fraction, sir. Misha? Colonel Radle is here.
Misha.
How are you? The Colonel's asking.
I've been here quite a long time. I don't quite know how long. Because we're absorbed into the air at night. And then, of course, they can do anything they like with you at will. But that's why I keep rather quiet.
Who, Misha?
They do it with rays, I believe. And atoms. And they can send them from anywhere. Right across the world. And fill you up with them. And germs and all sorts of things.
Misha, do you know where you are?
On a star, sir. On a star. Just like you. I expect you were sent to Vienna too, sir. Because you are the same kind of element as me. The same dual body functioning.
Galicia, near the Polish border. A hotel room. Obdzienski and Radle.
Come here. Over here. Have some more. Where are you, Radle? You're always disappearing. Why are you so restless always, all the time? Limping home with scars, and now you've got a bitten lip, I see. Tell me now, about this new boy. Was it Victor? Lieutenant Yashabek.
He's not new, Colonel.
I thought it was last February.
December.
5 months. Oh, I suppose that is a long time for you.
How often are you unfaithful to your wife?
When I'm not working too hard. And if I can arrange it, daily.
You seem to arrange most things.
Oh, don't say it in that tone of voice. I was looking it up the other day. You've had 80,000 kronen out of me over the years.
Out of Mother Russia.
Quite so. And she can ill afford your way of life.
She's had her money's worth.
Not over Krakow.
Oh, not again.
Well, later. Tell me about, what's it? Victor? Is he handsome?
Extremely.
Yes, but how handsome? In what way?
Tall, fair, eyes pale.
Is that what you like? Watery?
It
Tell me what you like.
My dear friend. Nothing has the enduring, unremitting crudity of what I like. And no interest. I like nothing exotic. Now, the Countess, you know, Delianov, you used to write those strange love letters to. I could have had her at any time, naturally. But nothing. No interest here whatsoever. Too exotic and, I suppose, intelligent. I can understand you trying her out really well. All I want is a lump, a rump, a big, jolly, roaring and boring, let us have no illusion, heaving, lovely, wet and friendly, large and breasty lump. Oh, what I wouldn't do for one now. Yes, with you here too, Radel. Will that disgust you?
No.
Flicker of interest?
Very little. I have watched.
Oh, dear. You make me feel cruder than ever. Tears of Christ, I'd make her jump and giggle and give her fun. All girls like fun, even if they're educated. Do you give fun much?
Oh, some, I imagine. Perhaps not too much. If I liked anyone, it was because they were beautiful. Well, to me, anyway.
Yes, I see. That's quite different. I don't see very much beauty. I mean, I don't need it. You're a romantic. You lust after the indescribable. Describe it to yourself, at least. And it becomes unspeakable.
You sound like a drunken Russian Oscar Wilde.
Me? Oscar Wilde? Well, perhaps there's a cozy chambermaid here. Do they have such a thing in this hole? I'll ask Stanitsin. Do you get afraid very often?
Yes.
I'll tell you some things that stick in my throat about you people. Do you mind?
If you wish.
Well, one. You all assume you're the only ones who can understand anything about yourselves.
Yes?
Well, two. Frankly, you go on about beauty and lyricize away about naked bodies as if we were all gods.
Some of us.
Or else you carry on like rutting pigs. It isn't any fun having no clear idea of the future, is it? And you can't remake your past. And then when one of you writes a book about yourselves, you pretend it's something else. That it's about married people. And not two men together. That is not honest, Alfred.
Don't be maudlin, Colonel.
Well, you are one of those depressing people whom you always know you are bound to disappoint. And yet, one tries. Well, you must be used to dancing at two weddings by this time. You've been doing it long enough.
You do enjoy despising me, don't you? Can we finish now?
Not till Krakow is settled. I don't despise you at all. Why should I? I don't care. I'm only curious.
My confessions are almost as entertaining as the Krakow fortifications.
You're quite wrong. Quite. I listen to you. I enjoy your company. You'll see how much vodka we've drunk together. I don't drink with many people, Alfred. May I?
Mm.
I don't know anyone quite like you. It's taken a long time, hasn't it? You're giving nothing away this time.
What about Krakow?
Well, my dear friend, it was most embarrassing. Suddenly, my whole organization pounced on. Boom! And who did it? You!
It was unavoidable. I felt there was suspicion.
But no warning.
I tried, but it had to be.
Hauser was about my best agent.
I'm sorry, but you might have lost me otherwise.
Maybe. But if I don't turn up with something now, I'll be roasted. You've got to give me someone. And someone significant I can parade at a big trial, like your affair. Well?
Very well, I have someone.
Who?
Kupfer.
Isn't he on your staff? St. Petersburg?
Yes.
Governments don't usually pounce on the diplomatic or military missions of other governments.
If it were outrageous enough.
Well, if you can fix it, and it's really scandalous...
I can.
Very well, then. Fix it, Raynor. Fix it! Wow! We've hardly started yet.
Prague. The bedroom of Riddle's apartment. Victor, naked, is in the bed.
I think I'll get up.
Victor, why do you make such disgusting scenes with me? If you had the insight to imagine what you look like!
Oh, don't!
Now stop screaming, you stupid little queen! You don't want to get married. You whore. Urchin. You just want to bleed me to death. You want more. Dear God, if ever there was a ludicrous threat. You don't want the girl or any girl. You couldn't. I've seen her too, remember. I could, mark you, and have, but not you. When I think... How do you imagine you would ever have got a commission in a cavalry regiment? You! Who would have bought you 3 full-blooded horses and paid your groom and mess bills and taught you to shoot like a gentleman, to behave properly as a fire leader and be a damned piss-elegant horseman in the fields? You couldn't open your mouth and make an acceptable noise of any sort at all! You're so stupid you thought you could catch me with a shoddy ruse like that, huh? You'll get no bills paid, nor your automobile. That's the bottom of it. You're so avaricious, you'll get nothing. You're so worthless, you can't even recognize the shred of petty virtues in others, some of which I have still. Which is why you have nothing but contempt for anyone like me who admires you or loves you or wants and misses you and has to beg for you at least one day a fortnight. Yes. Yesterday, I spent 2 excruciating hours at the most boring party a Mose have ever been to, talking to endless people, couldn't see or hear, hoping you, God knows where you were, that you'd possibly, if I was lucky, might turn up. Just hoping you might look in, so I could light your cigarette and watch you talking and even touch your hand briefly out of sight.
I do love you.
Oh, in your way, yes. Like a squalling, ravenous, raging child. You want my style, my box at the opera instead of standing with the other officers. You're incapable of initiating anything yourself. If the world depended on the victors, on people like you, there would be no first moves made. No inexpedient overtures, no serving, no invention, no spontaneity, no stirring whatsoever in you that doesn't come from elsewhere. Dear Mother of God, you're like a woman! You, come here. You've no memory. You've no grace. You keep nothing. You are thick, thick. A sponge soaking up. No recall, no fear. You're a few blots. All you are is young. There's no soft fat up here in the shoulder and belly and buttocks yet, but it will. Nobody loves an old, squeezed, wrinkled pip of a boy who was gay once. Least of all people like me or yourself. You'll be a vulgar fake. Someone even a toothless housewife in the marketplace can bait. You little painted toy. You puppet. You poor duffer. You'll be with your disease and paunch and silliness and curlers and your dyed wispy hair and long legs and varicose veins like bunches of grapes and prostate and your thick waist and rolling thighs and big bottom. That's where we all go. That's where we go in the bottom. That's where we all go, and you can't mistake it. Everyone will see it. Oh, look. Oh, it's not true. It's not true. You are beautiful. You always will be. You are there, baby, there. I'm sorry, there. Baby won't last. Won't last, there. There, it's all over. It's all over. Sorry.
May 1913. The office of General von Merle. Tausig is handing papers to the general.
This is the envelope, sir. As you see, it's addressed to Nikolai Strach, care of General Postal Delivery Vienna. It lay there for several weeks before it was opened by the secret police, who found it contained 5,000 kronen and the names of two well-known espionage cutouts, one in Dresden and another in Paris. The letter was resealed. Rumpler was informed immediately, and we waited.
And?
Radl took 3 days leave and motored in his automobile to Vienna, where he picked up the letter on Thursday evening.
Radl?
Sir. Then his account at the Austro-Hungarian bank, unpaid bills for stabling, furniture, tailoring, objet d'art, and so on. Automobile maintenance totaling some 50,000 crowns, assets a little over five, plus valuable personal properties as yet unvalued. Some securities worth perhaps 8,000 kronen. The servant Max is owed a year's wages, but doesn't seem to mind. A trunk full of photographs, women's clothes, underwear, etc. Love letters to various identified and unidentified men. A signed oath from Lieutenant Viktor Yerschabek, swearing not to marry during Radl's lifetime, and only afterwards by way of certain complicated financial losses in Radl's will. Radl's will...
All right, Tausig. General von Herzendorf must be informed at once.
Sir.
No. I must do it. He'll go out of his mind. Radl? How people will enjoy this. They'll enjoy this. The elite caught out right at the center of the empire. You know what they'll say, of course, about the elite.
Perhaps it can be kept a secret, sir, do you think? It's still possible.
Yes. We must do it now. Where is Radl?
The Hotel Klom, sir.
We'll see Herzendorf, get his permission, and then we'll go there together, you and I. We'll need a legal officer. Kuntz, I'd say. But he must be sworn to outright secrecy. Those damn newspapers!
Kuntz is the man for that, sir.
Very well. Let's break the news to General Herzendorf.
May 1913. The Hotel Klomsø. Radl's room. Radl is seated at a desk. In front of him stand General von Merle, Judge Advocate Kuntz, and von Tausig. Radl signs a document which he gives to Kuntz, who, having examined it, puts it in his briefcase.
That's all, General Merle.
You know, General, I know you'll be offended if I say this, because I know you're a deeply religious man, and I've always felt there was a nasty, bad smell about the church. I mean, worse than the Jews, certainly. And as you know, I'm a Catholic myself. I mean, who isn't? Born, I mean. Born. I think I hate the Spaniards most of all. I
it as the flaw.
My character, they are Catholics. Those damn Spaniards were the worst marriage bargain the Habsburgs ever made. Inventing bridal lace to line coffins with, and they really are the worst. And they stink of death. I mean, it's in their clothes and their armpits, quite stained with it. And the worst is, they're so proud of it. Insufferably. It's like people with stinking breath, always puff and blow and bellow an inch away from your face. The Spaniards are, they must admit, a musty lot. Entire nation from top to bottom smells of old clothes in the bottom of trunks.
Tysik.
Are you acquainted with the Browning pistol, Radel?
No, I am not.
I have a copy of the Browning manual here.
Thank you, Tarsic.
The next morning, early. Merle, Tausig, and Kuntz wait outside the Hotel Klomser. A light burns in Radel's room above. It is cold.
"5 hours, General. Should we go up?"
"No.
Forgive me, gentlemen. I'm going home. My wife is waiting for me. My work seems to be done."
"Of course."
"Right.
Well."
Vienna, the Chamber of Deputies. May the 30th, 1913.
"The autopsy showed the bullet had penetrated the oral cavity, passing obliquely through the brain from left to right. Death must have been practically instantaneous due to hemorrhage. The question is not who gave this officer the manual, but who allowed him to be given a revolver for this purpose at all?" "There will be no concealment of any regularity."
"Is it not true that this officer was exposed by reason of his official contacts with certain confidential elements in the military political sphere for a period of some years, with special duties in connection with the frontier protection and the order of armament?"
"Was not this same officer in the confidence of von Moltke, the chief of the Imperial German High Command?"
"Someone must have been around with the wit or perception to have suspected something."
"Are we all asleep or what?
What has become of us?"
"Now, is it not true that he was, in fact, the son of one Martha Stein, a Galician Jewess? Why was this fact not taken note of?"
"The high treason which General Staff Colonel Redl was able to practice with impunity for a period of many years is an occasion of the gravest possible public disquiet, which is far from being allayed, if not actually increasing. This is due not only to the abominable crime committed by this officer, but more by the way in which the case has been managed by the authorities of the Royal and Imperial Army."
"Yes, what do you do about it? What do you do?"
"We must not alarm the public more than is necessary. It is true that the crime committed by Colonel Redl against his country and the uniform he wore is felt in the most sensitive way by the whole population. However, the only adequate protection of the honor of officers lies in rigid standards. And if individuals act against the honor of that class, the only helpful thing is the expulsion from it of those individuals by all the forms prescribed by law."
Oblensky's office. Oblensky and Stanitsyn. The Magic Lantern Show.
Next. Schöpfer. Julius Gerhardt. MD, PhD, FRCS. Member Institute Neuropathology Vienna. Member Vienna Institute. On Fellow of the Royal Society of London. Born Prague, March 25th, 1871. Family Jewish. Distinguished patients, list follows. political and military. In 1897, at the age of 25, he delivered a brilliant lecture on the origins of nervous diseases.
In A Patriot for Me by John Osborne, Gary Bond played the part of Alfred Raven, Norman Rodway von Merle, Robert Lang Oblienski, and Jill Bennett, Countess de Leon. Baron von Epp was played by John Moffat. Chichinsky, Stenitsin, and Lady Godiva were played by Hayden Wood, Steinbauer and von Tausig, Sean Arnold, Kuntz, John Church, Fürzendorf, Patrick Barr, Hilda, Catherine Hurlbut, von Kupfer, Anthony Hyde, Albrecht and Paul, Martin Reed, Adjutant, Young Man and Marie Antoinette, John McAndrew, Ferdy, Orderly and Flunky, Philip Fox, Tsarina, Michel and Victor, Richard Gibson, Stefan Kovac and Schöpfer, Gordon Reed. The scenes were introduced by Alexander John. The adaptation for radio was by Anton Gill, and the play was directed by John Tiedemann and Anton Gill.